Yesterday, the New England Patriots lost what would have been a mostly meaningless game against the Miami Dolphins. The Patriots, after all, had already clinched their spot in the playoffs, and the Dolphins weren't going. But the game became a small piece of football history. Quarterback Doug Flutie converted a successful drop kick, scoring an extra point in the fourth quarter and reminding us of an arcane bit of football play. Andy Benoit is the author of Touchdown 2005, Everything You Need to Know About the NFL This Year, and he joins us now from Boise, Idaho. And Andy, I wonder, did you include look out for that drop kick in your book?
Absolutely not. You know, and I mean, I'm only 19. I haven't seen a drop kick. I mean, none of, you know, you have to be 60-something to see a drop kick. The last one that was done was in 1941. And so it was weird. No one planned the drop kick. Even the Dolphins coach, Nick Saban, wasn't prepared for it. He had to call a timeout, and he's good friends with Bill Belichick. He's pretty familiar with Belichick's mind. That's the Patriots head coach. And Saban had no idea what was going on. Nobody did except Flutie.
All of a sudden, he looks on the field, and instead of the Patriots kicker and placeholder for the extra point, he sees a quarterback, Doug Flutie.
Yeah, and he said he saw a quarterback and four tight ends and a couple of other receivers, I think. I mean, I don't see, you know, the idea. And what's so surprising is that it's Bill Belichick doing it. He maybe would be the last coach you would expect to do this, because you mentioned meaningless game, and it was a meaningless game for the Patriots. And that's the one guy you would expect to say, no, not a meaningless game. We're taking it seriously. It would be Belichick. And here he is, you know, trying kind of a bit of a stunt, a bit of a gimmick.
And Doug Flutie, the man who did it, he brought some history with it. Doug Flutie, of course, played, well, famously for Boston College and now for the Patriots, but he also played in Canada, where they have a similar rule to the drop kick called a rouge.
Yeah, and that's actually how Belichick got the idea. Belichick was talking with ESPN's Chris Berman a few weeks ago, and Berman mentioned it. Berman's a huge Canadian football fan. He's always talking about Canadian football. And he mentioned to Belichick that he had seen Flutie when he was in Canada do a drop kick. And so Belichick called Flutie into his office to find out that's true. And Flutie told him he could make it if the opportunity arise. I mean, you know, Flutie said he had about 80% confidence in himself in it, which for an extra point, you should have about 99.9. So clearly they were having some fun there, but it was Chris Berman's idea in the first place to tell Belichick, who told Flutie, and here we are talking about the next day.
Yeah. For those of us who weren't around in 1940 to see the last drop kick, tell us, what is it exactly?
Well, and you know, I had to go on the NFL rule book to see how they, I mean, you know what it is, but how they describe it. And so the NFL describes it as Rule 3, Section 8. It's a kick by a kicker who drops the ball and kicks it as, comma, or immediately after it touches the ground. So basically, you bounce the ball off the ground to yourself and kick it. And the reason it was so popular, you know, back before 1941, the football was more rounded back then, and then they changed the shape of the ball. Most dramatically, the shape of the ball changed in 1934, so we started seeing fewer and fewer, obviously, because the ball's not bouncing the right way. But It was real common when football first began, when the ball was round.
And of course, the slenderer ball was introduced to improve the passing game, which has proved to be quite popular.
Yeah, and drop kicks are neat, but I like seeing Tom Brady throw for touchdowns, too.
Yeah. The conventional point after touchdown is the place kick, and I guess that's in the rule books too, and that's what we always see.
Yeah, then that's just the standard, you know, you're two yards off the goal line, and then after a touchdown, and hike it back 7 yards deep, so a 19-yard field goal after a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. And that's the extra point that makes seven. Of course, these days you can go for two, but it's another story. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask you also about Doug Flutie. In an odd way, this is all sort of his career seems to be coming full circle.
Exactly. You know, for something like a drop kick, where it's real mysterious and kind of, you know, what's that? You know, we've heard about it. None of us have seen it, though. We've only heard about it. Doug Flutie is the perfect player to be the man to execute the drop kick. I mean, he's like the Great Gatsby of football. You know, we all know him, but we all feel like we don't know him. You know him real well, and he's out there and he's real visible. But there's something about him where he has this mystique to him. You know, playing in Canada and little guy. He's only 5'9", 175. So part of it is we all wonder how he can even, you know, lift a football, let alone throw it like he does. And so since the Boston College Hail Mary in 1984, and then, you know, a USFL legend and playing in Canada and then coming to the NFL and all these comeback wins in his late 30s, he's an old guy, he's 43 now, he's still playing strong. I mean, he's just a great football player, and it's real mysterious, and we'll remember him for a long time for stuff like this. And the dropkick just builds onto that legend.
And he is one of a group of very interesting players who we may have seen play their last games yesterday.
Yeah, and yesterday was a tough day for football purists because I think we did see the last game for Brett Favre now that Mike Sherman was fired for Green Bay today. And
The coach at Green Bay was dismissed.
Green Bay let Mike Sherman go, their head coach. And so Brett Favre will probably follow him. Deion Sanders retired. We've seen that before, but it's still, saying goodbye. Jerome Bettis.
One of these days, primetime's going to mean it.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll see him again, but just not as a player, So there were, and then Jerome Bettis, there were a few, we were saying some goodbyes yesterday. And Flutie, he's 43. I don't know. He might keep playing. It's tough to say. That may be the last play we ever see from Doug Flutie, though. That would be kind of fitting.
We're talking with Andy Benoit, the author of Touchdown 2005, Everything You Need to Know About the NFL This Year. He's on the line with us from Boise, Idaho. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, Andy, you mentioned Mike Sherman out in Green Bay. The blood is on the floor in a lot of NFL clubhouses today.
Yeah, Sherman's gone. Dom Capers for the Texans. I don't know if it's been official yet, but the players have been told he's gone. Mike Tyus was fired yesterday, less than an hour after the game, actually, after a win, too. And then Jim Haslett left today from the Saints. He asked to be removed from his job. So there's Dick Vermeil retired. That's five coaching vacancies right there alone.
And that is, it's a large number. There's 30 teams in the NFL.
Yeah, 32 teams, five coaching vacancies already, and there still might be a few to go. I know Mike Martz also, there's a sixth for the Rams.
Yes, of course.
I mentioned him. So, it's a tough job, Some of those, Mike Tyus, I'm not sure how you fire him after the job he did turning the team around. It's not his fault. His players were out of control early in the season, off the field, and he was able to focus them. So I don't know if that's a fair firing. I know the Packers should not be firing Mike Sherman. He had three division titles in the past 3 years, and then this season, obviously, they hit a bump in the road, a deep bump, but it's just such a tough industry to succeed in, and, there's a short patience with these head coaches, and that's what we're seeing now. Everyone's looking for a quick fix.
And all of those teams that dismiss their coaches have one thing in common. They are not going to the playoffs.
Yeah. you wouldn't fire a coach heading to the playoffs, although we've seen that, too, even. When John Gruden got fired after the Raiders lost in the second round of the playoffs, too. So it's not uncommon. But, yeah, those teams are not going to the playoffs, and certainly that's evidence with the coaches getting fired.
And one of the things that has emerged, some surprises amongst those teams that did earn playoff spots this year, and I guess most people are amazed at the performance of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and that's one that football fans, you could almost see coming, but nobody really could, put their finger on it. It's tough when they lost their starting quarterback before the season even began. They lost Rex Grossman, and that did hurt their offense. But that defense picked up. The Bears' defense is not as good as the 1985 version. I wasn't around to see it, but just looking on paper and what you hear. But they are certainly the best in the NFL right now. And anytime you have a great defense, if teams can't score on you, you're not going to lose games. And that's what the Bears were able to do. Now they have their quarterback healthy again. Grossman's back, and the offense is, decent enough to score points. So the Bears could actually wind up being a Super Bowl contender, and that's sounds crazy to say now, but hey, they have a bye week as it is. They're playing real well, and they're healthy.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, if they do get to the Super Bowl, they'll be representing the NFC, the National Football Conference. And a lot of people feel it almost doesn't matter who represents the NFC because there on the other side of the ledger is the almighty Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and the Colts are the class of the AFC and probably the class of the NFL right now. And even, the Colts' toughest games will be in the AFC playoffs. I was speaking yesterday with a friend, and we were talking about the Steelers, the number six seed in the AFC. A person could argue that they are as good as the number one seed in the NFC, the Seahawks. I don't think that's the case, but that kind of shows you where the balance is. It's leaning heavily towards the AFC. They have a much stronger group of six playoff teams than the NFC this year. So Indianapolis's challenges will be facing their own conference foes.
And in the past, Peyton Manning, the quarterback of the Colts and his team, have had difficulties getting past, the dynasty of most recent years, and that, of course, is the New England Patriots.
Yes, and the Patriots, they're 10-6 this season. We just talked about them with the drop kick, but, in all seriousness, now they're on a roll. They didn't win yesterday, but that wasn't, as bad as it sounds, that wasn't their concern. They've won you know, three of their past four games convincingly, and they head into the playoffs now with some momentum. They have a home game against the Jaguars. The Jacksonville's an inexperienced playoff team, a lot of young guys. So New England should be able to win that, and then I think they'd be matched up with Indianapolis. It's a very good chance in the second round. So we'll see if Manny can get over that hump right away. It's a nice way to break into the playoffs for him.
But if they were to play the Colts, they would play in Indianapolis under the dome and not in the snow and the wind that the that the Colts have had to experience playing in New England when New England got the better record and the home field advantage.
Yep, and that's the difference. And that's, everyone said, well, give the Colts, you know, a chance to play in their stadium. Well, here it is. Here's their chance, or here's their opportunity. I think they already beat New England outdoors earlier in the year, but that was a whole different Patriots team now. So we'll see if Teddy Bruschi's healthy, the linebacker for the Patriots, that defense is going to be as good as it was a year ago, or close to as good as it was a year ago, and Indy will have a great challenge. It's just great for football to see that. It's everything you want in a football game.
And, of course, if they play indoors in the dome, that'll give Flutie no problems with the wind if he tries another drop kick.
Yeah, I'd love to see Bill Belichick try a drop kick in the playoffs. That'd go over real well, especially if, imagine if Flutie shanked it, because they said he was shanking a lot of them in practice leading up to the game.
Andy Benoit, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Andy Benoit is the author of Touchdown 2005, Everything You Need to Know About the NFL This Year. And he joined us on the phone from Boise, Idaho. Go Giants! This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.